And now some important words from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, an engagement of services to be offered, and only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Well, you know, if you are really curious, I could tell you which razor blades to buy, Scott.
I'm an electric razor guy.
You look like you are. You look like maybe you do that on the drive-in in the morning, you know?
I do it at home, but I like my electric razor.
It works for you.
Yeah, and I don't have to buy any blades.
It doesn't eat your skin up?
You have to get used to them.
Oh, so you have to toughen up your skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
All right.
I got one of those baby faces. I don't want to do that, man. Come on.
I do not.
All right. Well, let me tell our listeners, we're going to talk about some tips for how to buy and sell real estate in 2012, some stuff going on there, and I have a warning for you, and you'll want to stay tuned for this. It's Mr. Fuss Budget Goes to Washington. And so we're going to talk about that. You got to wait for that one. That's going to be good. But before that, we're going to get to
the fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
That didn't take long to get to. There he is. Scott, let's talk about what's going on in the world of finance.
Well, we had another David type of day on Thursday. Dow Jones was up 20 points.
Oh, I love it.
S&P up 3 points, NASDAQ 13 points, gold up $10, and oil dropped $2 inside of $100.
Tensions easing? What do you think it is? Demand?
Yeah, they announced, they think there's going to be, they are delaying any type of embargo of Iranian oil. So basically there's more supply than
there's
some
an expectation of more supply being on the market, so the prices aren't going up. You know what I was wondering is if it was whether or not we saved any more of the Iranian fishing boats. You know, if we, maybe we could rescue one a day.
Yeah.
Have like a one a day plan.
Yep, and get it down to $50.
Yeah, and then the oil will keep coming down because people see that we're getting along.
Yeah, well, that'd be terrific. I don't envision us getting along anytime soon, but there was quite a bit of news that drove Thursday's market on the economic front, and particularly Thursdays we always get the claim for unemployment benefits. The new claims rose Thursday by 24,000 to 399,000, almost 400,000.
That's not good.
Well, it's expected at the end of December, all the seasonal jobs are cut, the retail jobs and the shipping jobs and stuff like that. So it's always expected. And about this time in January, we're going to have a spike in that number, but it's still a pretty big number.
Well, so that's going to serve as kind of our benchmark now for the rest of the year, because that 400,000 really has become the, you know, it's either under or over 400, you know.
Yeah, it's a psychologically important number. And the other thing is that will impact the unemployment rate, because the participation rate, which we've talked about, doesn't change with this number, because it's people who are working, who were working, are now looking for a job. So the participation rate stays the same, but it's all those people who now don't have a job. So I wouldn't be shocked if we see an increase in the unemployment rate for January, which we'll get the first Friday of February.
You know what we need to do, Scott, is we need to, I think our listeners would like this. I'd like to do this, is we're going to start doing maybe at least weekly. We'll just do a total, just do a number. Some of these percentages get a little confusing. I think what would be helpful is we'll just start doing a total unemployed, just raw number.
Oof.
Because, here's the deal. What people miss a lot of times is that we've got how many people enter the workforce every month? 100,000?
Yeah.
Just natural population growth. So we have to absorb those first 100,000 before we make any dent into the people that are already unemployed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the unemployment number is to me one of the most misleading numbers and most easily manipulated numbers out there.
Anytime you're dealing with percentages, you know, accountants. I started my career as a CPA.
Yeah.
Accountants always ask, you know, when they say, you know, we're going to work out some math problem. Well, what do you want the answer to be?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of latitude in calculating some of these things.
Yeah, unemployment number I think is the worst, and it's such a critical number. It's disappointing that it's that easily manipulated. Also on Thursday we got a retail sales number, disappointing. 0.1% rise in December, weakest pace in 7 months.
So we've got two pieces of bad news. We've got retail sales are weak and jobless claims are up.
Yeah, and we can dig into both of those numbers a little bit later on if you like. On the good news front on Thursday, you know, I've been talking all week about these European bond auctions that were supposed to take place on Thursday, and I had some trepidation going into those. Italy and Spain both had very successful bond auctions. Now, you can kind of peel layers back on those, too, and start to look at them with kind of a screwy eye. The Italian auction in particular was a 12-month auction. And so the speculation is that the European Central Bank basically told all the banks, we'll lend you as much money as you want to borrow for a short period of time. So everybody's thinking, well, they took these loans from the ECB at basically a zero rate, a 1% rate.
To cover the short.
Right, and then they're just taking the spread.
Well, but didn't we have some Italian bonds that they sold that actually were under that magical 7% for 10-year?
Well, there were some in the secondary market. It moved back down below 7%, okay. But the auction that took place on Thursday was a 12-month auction. The Spanish auction was a 3-year auction, and they also sold off some 5-year paper that was kind of sitting around in inventory.
But the general mood or sense is that the rates have come down a little bit, which is good news.
Yeah, the real indicator is a 10-month auction, which we'll have shortly from Europe. 10-year.
Yeah.
So that's the big one. We'll see what happens with that. In corporate news, oil producers are off fairly significantly on Thursday, mostly because natural gas prices are down so much, which we'll talk about. Sears Holdings, we might be in the death throes of Sears Holdings.
Get out.
Yeah, CIT Group said they are no longer going to provide loans to the struggling retailers, suppliers to finance shipments. So
not
once,
good. You know, they've got a nice refrigerator that you can put in your garage. I've got my eye on, so I better go get it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like the very much the beginning of the end for Sears Holding. Better news, Home Depot announced they were going to hire 70,000 temporary workers for spring season. Starbucks hit a 52-week high on Thursday's market as UBS raised the price target to $52 from $47.
That's pretty good.
It's rich coffee.
Well, a couple other pieces of good news I saw. Foreclosure rates are down.
Yep.
Very good sign.
Yep. There's some interesting things behind that. Number two. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to hit a couple of the key points and we'll come back. Dividends paid by companies are going up.
Yep.
We're seeing a rise there. And there is some opening discussion, no details yet from the president, but there's some discussion about tax breaks for companies that insource instead of outsource jobs overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the upbeat economics. There's an upbeat economic report out. That's the Beige Book. When we dig into that, seeing some positive growth signs.
Yep.
And you mentioned natural gas prices are falling, and I think that's a positive thing. So we're going to need to get into each of these, but we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we'll delve into some of these specifics of the good news in the Fastest Five, and we'll talk about how they affect your pocketbook and may affect some of the investment decisions you make.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read will find you clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
You know, Scott, you better hope I don't put video cameras in here. You started, you know, get up and dance to that one.
I was bouncing.
Well, you know, we hit the listeners with so many pieces of positive news. I'm popping my peas.
Yeah.
That we need to get into some of those details, because I think people need to understand how some of this is really good stuff. And, yeah, you know, I sometimes feel like somebody needs to talk about some positive stuff, because yeah, there's so much negativity out there and everybody feels all beaten up and beaten down. So, you know, let's talk through some of these. Any particular ones you want to hit?
Wherever you want to go. Jobs number. We can go to jobs. We can go to dividends. We can
talk
go
about dividends. I think that's something a lot of times people aren't as tuned into.
Yeah, dividends seem to be on the uptick. Anytime I see news, I think it can be good news or bad news. So here's the good news on dividend is that there's a lot of money that's just sort of sitting out there on the sidelines. A dividend basically is nothing more than a company who has all this cash sitting in the bank and they decide that they're going to give it to shareholders. That's all a dividend is. Dividends are on the rise. Now, there are some companies that dividends are on the rise every year. For example, Johnson & Johnson has raised their dividend 49 years in a row. Procter & Gamble has raised their distribution 55 years in a row. But dividends seem to be on the rise, which puts money back in consumers' hands. They can either invest it, they can spend it, but it's being distributed. And once it's distributed, it gets distributed again and distributed again.
But the company's no longer going to use it.
But the company's no longer going to use it, which is also kind of the bad news. Because what I think we'd really like to see for growth, we talk about we have to grow our way out of here. We need these companies to take some of this money and put it to work, build plans, build plants, or innovate, or create jobs somehow, rather than just kind of sit on money. A dividend is better than sitting on it.
Well, there's some $2 trillion in cash.
Yeah.
$2 trillion with a T, held by the S&P companies,
yeah,
the large American-based corporations. And so they're deciding to, you know, to send some of that back to the people who've invested in those companies.
Yeah, it will eventually get spent or reinvested, you know, which is growth. It's slower growth than if they just, I think, just made direct investment in their business.
Well, and again, we always talk about, Scott, about the purpose of the management and board of directors of any publicly traded corporation is to do one thing. Yes, they need to be a good corporate citizen. Yes, they need to follow the rules. Yes, they need to do all those things that are proper and legal and good for society in general. But their number one job is to return value to the shareholder.
Right.
So what they're saying is, you know what, we'll give some of the money back to you in the form of a dividend as opposed to just sitting on the cash, because we just don't feel as confident about doing some of the things that we'd like to do in the environment or the legislation or whatever it may be.
Yeah, and I also think the other side of that coin is that corporations are sitting around right now and they know they can borrow money for basically nothing. So if something comes up, they float a loan if they're a good credit quality company like Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson, and they can get as much money as they want, as cheap as they want. So there's no reason for them to not distribute that cash.
Well, and that's exactly right. And the other point I was making, and I didn't quite get to it, and here's the rest of it, is that if the purpose of the corporation is to raise the value of the company, they do that by growing the company, but also by paying a dividend.
Yeah.
You know, because nothing's going to be worth more than what you're going to get out of it. So when a person, if a company starts to increase dividends, then that will increase the value of the stock. Everything else being equal,
right,
the perception of people who might want to buy the stock is it's worth more because it pays either pays a dividend where it didn't before, or now it pays a higher dividend.
Yeah.
So again, we're back to what management's job is that they were hired to do, and that is to return value to the shareholder. And if the stock's price goes up because people like the dividend, well, then they've increased the value of the company to the shareholder.
Yeah, and certainly as a shareholder, a dollar in my pocket today is worth more to me than the potential for a dollar later.
It was bird in hand, right?
Right.
How about the economic report that came out? We've had a chance to kind of dig into that. And you know, when we talked about it, I think it was yesterday, it starts to blur together sometimes, Scott, but yesterday's show, we talked about the Federal Beige Book, which is basically a report on the 12 districts.
I like the Beige Book.
All right. Well, I wasn't sure because yesterday, like, it's kind of, you know, it's just a quick, they went out and asked a couple people a few questions.
No, I like the Beige Book because there's no numbers in it. So,
okay.
So your accounting equation of what do you want the answer to be? There's none of that.
I can't do that. Okay.
It's purely, purely anecdotal. It comes out about 8 times a year. They go out into the 12 areas, the 12 different district banks, and they basically just ask people, you know, how's it going out there?
Well, here's what I see, and you tell me if I got it wrong. Well, don't tell me if I got it wrong. Just tell me if I got it right. There's 12 districts, and it shows USA Today did a quick synopsis, and 10 of the 12 districts show a strong or improving area.
Right.
That's pretty positive to me.
Yeah, and the one exception was Richmond. And one of the nice thing about the Beige Book is that you can really dig in and, you know, see what's the what behind the what. So with Richmond, they're saying that there's a lot of furniture in Richmond, and they're suffering because of the home buildings.
Okay,
so that makes sense. I understand that. But even in Richmond, they said it was flat or improved slightly.
So it's not declining.
No, it was not declining.
So what I'm hearing is that, and from the report, that there is no area, again, these major metropolitan areas or regions of the country, no area is going south.
That's correct.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah, that's good news. Consumers are spending a lot. They're spending a lot on big ticket items. Travel and auto sales were up in almost all regions. Manufacturing is growing in most regions, particularly for heavy equipment and steel. So there actually was quite a bit of cheerful news in the Beige Book.
Well, how about this? Let's talk for a minute about natural gas.
All right.
What natural gas prices are dropping? There's been a lot of drilling using, again, some of this new technology, the fracturing.
Yeah, the fracking. Yeah.
Fracking, they call it. You know, they use that term in like science fiction movies, and it's supposed to be like a curse word. But I guess,
is that right?
Yeah, but now they've made it into something you use for actual drilling. I'll have to go find where I heard that. But there's a lot of natural gas byproduct from a lot of the drilling they're doing for oil. So it's almost like they're getting they don't get the gas for free, but there's a lot of gas that's coming out as they're doing a lot of this drilling. So natural gas prices have really dropped.
And the other thing is that we're having a very warm winter up north.
So the demand is low.
Yeah, about 50% of American homes are heated by natural gas.
Well, gas, and it's per million of BTU, and so basically the price per unit, it was over $12 in 2008. Now it's down under $4.
Yeah.
That's a huge drop.
Well, you know, they're really putting inventory away a lot, I think, which will help utility prices going forward. But I also think we're going to have more and more uses for natural gas as things go forward.
It's a huge benefit to manufacturers, chemical manufacturers, and, you know, a lot of steel companies, plastic makers. They're building facilities in the United States, again, hopefully even more so with this insourcing concept, and they're doing a lot of natural gas to fuel those. And so as we go forward, they call it natural gas fired power plants that they'll do instead of coal or electric or whatever else they might
use.
Yeah,
we're not dependent on anybody but us for that.
We have more natural gas, right?
Yeah.
If not under the Appalachian Mountains, we've got...
Yeah, we could export it, and we do export in a lot of cases.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, good news.
That's good news. Smile, Scott. That's
I'm
good
smiling.
Stuff. And we're hoping that we will get some more good news to come out. But that's all the time we have for this segment. When we come back, we will talk about the ways to improve your chances of buying or selling a home in 2012. Stick around.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional, and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 13 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Okay, we're back, and as promised, I'm going to talk now about the tips for buying and selling real estate. I don't act as a real estate agent, but I've done my share of real estate transactions and have been studying the market, and again, this comes up a lot in the financial planning for the clients I've worked with. Many of them have real estate. Many of them have homes with mortgages, or they have a home for sale, and so a lot of this comes up, so I stay pretty well tuned into what's going on, and there have been a number of things, of course, written and things that are out there in the market about what do you do? How do you get your home sold as quickly as you can and get as much as you can out of it? Or how do you make sure that you, if you're buying a home, you don't pay any more than you have to? Nobody wants to pay any more than they have to for any home they buy, but they want to make sure they get it done right. So there's a lot of expectation that for 2012 that there will be a growth of homes sold. But there's some things that may hang that up still. There's a pretty stubborn quantity of homes that are the pricing is still restrained by the seller, meaning that there's only so low that person's going to go because there they're simply underwater. And a recent study I was reading about indicated that 20% of all residential properties with a mortgage are still underwater. So there's a lot of folks that may want to sell but simply say, I cannot go below this number. And so that's obviously holding up some people from being able to reach a price that a buyer will accept. So some general guidance, and I found some interesting things at bankrate.com. They do a lot of tracking of the mortgage rates and things in the real estate market. Number one, price it right from the get-go. A lot of people have been very frustrated by people that price their homes too high. And again, some of it is trying simply to deal with their mortgage, but also holding on to the value that once was in 2006 for the real estate market, saying, well, no, my home really is worth $300. It was worth $300 in 2006. Well, that is pretty much irrelevant today with what the home is worth. Now, will it be worth that $300 again in the future? Well, sure, it could be. But you've got to price it from the get-go. And according to the National Association of Realtors, for those homes that took at least 4 months to sell, about half of them had to accept less than 90% of their original asking price. So you need to be priced correctly and position yourself so that you don't have to wait so long to sell it. And again, all this is easy if you don't have a large mortgage. But if there's a large mortgage, or the mortgage is a significant percentage of the home's value, or it's more than the value, then you're hamstrung on that. Couple other things. Put your best foot forward. Make sure that you have spruced up the house. You don't have to go add another room to the house or put in a pool, but there's a lot of things you can do to create what we call curb appeal. Painting and staging the home. If it's been empty and you got all your furniture out, there are companies that stage a home and make it look lived in and give it that warm feeling that people like to see. Putting in flowers, you know, don't go crazy, but you can put in some modest landscaping. All of those things are things that tell the potential buyer, hey, buy me. I look like I'm not going to be a bunch of work. I know that when I have purchased real estate, the home I live in and the one before that, a couple things that immediately drew me to the home is, you know what? This does not look like it needs any work. And for me as a buyer, that was very attractive. Now, the alternative is some people would like to buy something that is kind of a diamond in the rough. And that can be an advantage because you buy something that maybe you can work. If you've got the time and the inclination and you want to do that, then you might be able to find a very well-priced home for your situation. For sellers, the big word right now I'm hearing from real estate agents is to be flexible. Be flexible and listen to what the buyer is saying about the home and instruct your agent to do that. And on that point, what you want to do is make sure that you're tuned into anything in particular that might be kind of keeping them from liking the home. Like, well, you know, this home would be perfect, except we need this or we need that. Something that kind of knocks the home out of their consideration. Maybe a little bit of remodeling or some brand new appliances or something like that. So it needs to be something that is not a deal killer. Now, with regard to agents, and I am going to speak from personal experience. I'm not a spokesperson for the Realtor Association. I can tell you that transactions I've been involved with went better and smoother when I was had an agent working for me. Now, when somebody has a house that's listed and there's their sign in the yard, and let's, you know, it's ABC brokerage real estate firm, and you call, it's the seller's agent that's going to call, and they owe you not nearly the duty that they owe the seller. They are representing them, not for you. And it is a big equalizer and advantage to you to get your own agent to then work with the other agent so you have your own representation. And it doesn't cost any more usually because then they end up splitting the commission. And that's very often done. But I think that you need to have somebody that can actually work for your situation and help you. And they can also be able to, you know, to tell you if there's something either in the buying or selling process that can tune you into something you need to know. There's some other things that are important, that this flexibility that I talked about. Financing and loans and all that is a lot harder today than it used to be. You may need to be flexible and listen to your agent about this, about the terms and how it's structured. You might need to include some extra, help pay for closing costs or appraisals and things that you wouldn't have had to do previously, you know, when the market was running up really hard, 2003 through 2006, you know, it was a fairly level playing field or even a little bit of a seller's market. Today is clearly still a buyer's market. And so there has to be some accommodation. So those are some things to help you in looking at real estate. Stick around. We'll come back. We'll do our 2-minute warning and I'll talk about Mr. Fuss Budget Goes to Washington.
Do you ever think about the effects inflation will have on your retirement savings? Can you remember when gas was just $1 per gallon? Or when you could buy a house for less than what most cars sell for these days? Is it possible to keep pace with inflation and protect a portion of your portfolio from stock market volatility? A registered investment advisor can show you your options. Certified financial planner David Holland and his team of fee-based investment advisors are ready to help. Schedule your free consultation today by calling 888-747-PLAN. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit us at www.davidholland.com.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume. It's huge when somebody says, "That job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United.
Go to liveunitedinvolutiaflagler.org. Brought to you by the United Way and the Ad Council.
With so many financial products and services available today, do you ever wonder what the best income strategy is for your situation? Call Holland Financial to receive a free educational DVD on retirement income strategies. Certified financial planner David Holland discusses some of the income planning strategies used by retirees and baby boomers. The DVD is available free of charge, hassle, or pressure by simply calling 888-747-PLAN. Again, that's 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
Yes, it is. And here it is. And it's kind of an odd one today, but I feel compelled to share this with you. Don't buy in or get sucked in or buy into all the bluster and hot air in Washington. You know, there's been some recent back and forth that I want to comment on, and that is the legendary Warren Buffett has been bickering with the Republicans in Congress back and forth and kind of taunting them about how to address our budget deficits for our country and challenged them to his position is that the current taxation, our tax system, favors the rich in his view. And so back and forth with the Congress people, he went and they ended up having this thing back and forth where basically he said that he would match them dollar for dollar if they contributed toward fixing our deficit by putting their money in. And, you know, it struck me as really a big waste of time. And so why am I talking about it if it's a waste of time? Well, we don't need more politicians. We've got enough. And, you know, the sad thing is that Mr. Buffett is by many people regarded in fact, he's got some of these I found on a website, Wikipedia. He's a Wizard of Omaha. He's the Oracle of Omaha. He is the legendary investor, Warren Buffett. He's all these things. But we don't need him to help us increase taxes on the American taxpayer. In fact, Mr. Buffett could give all of his wealth to our government, which is over $50 billion. He is the third richest man in the world, second wealthiest in the United States, $50 billion estimated net worth. He could give every nickel he had, and it would make a scant drop in the bucket on our deficit of $16 trillion. There is only one way out of our current economic condition, and that is to grow our way out. And so I would love to ask, and I'll do it now, ask Mr. Buffett to talk to the president. He has his ear, and advise him on how to grow our country. We've got to grow our way out. So use that powerful business acumen and investment expertise, Mr. Buffett, to advise the president on how to grow our way out, to restore jobs, and to build the country back to what it was and what it can be for the future. So that's your 2-minute warning and something that needs to be said. Tune in next time. Thank you.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16.
hun, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.